At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. This has been a week of grieving in Dallas, with memorial services and funerals for the five officers killed last week. Our series, Remembering the Fallen, will profile each of the officers. BJ Austin looks at the life of 43-year-old Brent Thompson, the first DART police officer to die in the line of duty. Thompson's memorial service was held yesterday at the Potter's House in Dallas.
Brent Thompson ran at life full throttle. That's what his mama told Corsicana pastor Rick Lamb, who related the conversation to hundreds at Thompson's memorial service.
If something was going to happen, if somebody was going to skin their knee or fall off something or have an accident, it was always Brent.
Brent was the middle child of the three Thompson boys, well known in their hometown of Corsicana. Older brother Lowell is now the district attorney for Navarro County. Daryl is a high school coach. After a stint in junior college, Brent joined the Marines, did tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, then came home to be a Corsicana police officer and worked in the schools. Terry Seth, CEO of the Corsicana YMCA, says he made a big difference in a lot of young lives.
He cared about kids, and I think he wanted to help basically kids that are in trouble, you know, get back. He was proactive, always caring about the kids, what was best for kids.
And he had six kids of his own from a 24-year marriage to Sandra, four girls, two boys. Father Ed Monk, priest at St. John's Episcopal Church in Corsicana, says he and Thompson spent a lot of time doing dad duty as their kids went through school together.
Always kind, always had a smile. When he worked for the school district, always had a hug for each of the kids that he came into contact with, and just clearly loved his job and loved people.
Thompson joined DART in 2009 and quickly made a reputation for himself.
Brent was a notorious jokester, and if he knew your weakness, he was sure to exploit it and go out of his way doing so.
Thompson's DART police partner, Officer Joseph Kaiser, told the crowd at the memorial service that one lieutenant had confided he didn't really like to be touched.
So every time Brent saw this lieutenant, he'd go out of his way to either rub the lieutenant lightly on the back or reach up and tickle his elbow.
Doing it with an impish smile and twinkle in his eye. Corsicana doctor Kent Rogers has known the Thompson family, parents Sam and Paulette, and the three boys for decades. He calls them all fearless, never backing away from a challenge, whatever that may be. He says Brent certainly proved that.
He actually did the unthinkable, which is to hear the commotion and run right at it and go investigate and try to protect.
2 weeks before he was killed, Brent Thompson married again, his bride, a fellow DART officer, Emily.
I married the most amazing, caring, loving, selfless man I've ever known. Brent was a fighter, warrior, hero, and quite the scrapper.
At Potter's House, Emily Thompson told the sea of blue filling the church she will put on her uniform and badge and return to serve and protect. Brent would want that, she said. For KERA News, I'm BJ Austin.
Tonight, some will try to use music to help the city heal from the violence. A free concert at the Meyerson Symphony Center called Dallas Sings, Dallas Strong will feature local singers like Liz Michael and Denise Lee. And anyone can join the choir. Organizers hope several hundred singers will show up to take the stage. The choir will perform songs such as John Lennon's Imagine and Amazing Grace. Jonathan Pallett organized the concert. He said it's a response to the sorrow felt in Dallas.
Music has the power to unite people of all backgrounds and of all being. This performance isn't about the individual. It's about community.
Pallett said the city is grieving and many have lost hope.
Through music, I hope that what we see is we see that light. I hope that we come together to say that we are living, breathing individuals who can do something, who can stand up and say it's not acceptable to fight the way we are fighting.
The concert's co-hosted by Credo Choir and the Dallas Office of Cultural Affairs. To join the choir, just get to the Meyerson by 5:30. The free concert begins at 7:30 and will stream live on artandseek.org. The 15th Asian Film Festival of Dallas begins an 8-day run tonight at the Angelica Film Center. Our big screen team gets a preview from the festival's senior programmer and talks about the two countries at the center of Asian filmmaking.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And today we're speaking with David Gibson, who is the lead programmer of the Asian Film Festival of Dallas, which is celebrating its 15th edition this year. David, thanks for being here.
Thank you guys for having me.
One of the questions I get asked a lot is what countries do well showing their own movies as opposed to just Hollywood imports. And my answer is usually South Korea. That's usually like near the top of the list. Is that still the case? It seems like a very thriving indigenous cinema.
It's a close tie between South Korea and Japan, but mostly South Korea because their style of telling the story of all their movies can be so different. They're just so you have no idea what's going to happen next type of feel with every movie you watch with them, especially their thrillers.
And you're showing a documentary called Sky Blue Symphony that actually links those two countries together. Can
Absolutely.
You tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. It's about a group of Koreans that are in Japan, stranded there after everything went on with the World War and all of that. They have a school there to teach their younger Korean children about their culture. But in order to get funding for their school, they have to associate themselves to North Korea as citizens. And so they're from South Korea, they're citizens of North Korea, and this particular documentary follows them to visit North Korea because they've never been, and to, you know, learn more about the North Korean culture because that's who they're associating themselves with. And so it's a very interesting documentary. It's powerful.
What about some of the smaller countries? I notice there's not much from, say, the Philippines this year. Is it harder to find and get films from some of these countries that don't have the same kind of built-up industry?
Absolutely. I would love to show more films from Thailand and actually a lot more films from Vietnam. But, you know, with so many different film festivals around the world and in the U.S., you know, usually those films are either taken or they're already have shown in our area, or it's a harder market when you're trying to program. So you're trying to find the best quality as well as the best film to show that hasn't been shown.
Well, David Gibson, thanks so much for being here today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, David.
The Asian Film Festival of Dallas schedule is at artandseek.org. In the forecast, sunny skies, a high of 98 today. The overnight low will drop to 78. That's under mostly clear skies. And then tomorrow, repeat of today, sunny skies, high of 98. It's 79 degrees now in Dallas and Tyler, also in Wichita Falls, 80 degrees in Fort Worth, Eddie 30.